You know, I really should make an appointment to see my dentist. He is mine. It's time for me to have my teeth cleaned and checked out. But it's the one doctor that I just don't like. I've talked about this so many times before. I don't want to make an appointment with my dentist for a few reasons. One, I don't like people putting their hands in my mouth. Call me crazy, but it's not something that I thoroughly enjoy. I don't walk down the street and say, oh, that would look like a good person to put their hands in my mouth. Doesn't turn me on. Some people have a foot fetish. I don't have a mouth fetish. I don't want people putting things in my mouth. No tools, no hands. I don't want you looking in my mouth. Don't put a light in my mouth. Don't open my mouth. Do nothing with my mouth. And this is what dentists and dentist staffs do. The oral hygienist. That's just a fancy word for people that put their hands in my mouth. You know, come on. They have touchless car washes. Why can't you have a touchless dentist? I don't know. Figure it out. Get with the technology, man. The other thing is I don't like to be maligned and insulted. I don't. I just don't. I don't like when people say things to me that hurt my feelings. I don't like when oral hygienists and dentists look at me and say, you haven't been brushing. Have you been flossing? Don't scold me. I'm not your kid. I'm not your son. Don't tell me what I'm doing wrong. Don't do that to me. Don't yell at me. Don't belittle me. You know, Ron, if you don't take care of your teeth, your gums are going to recede. I didn't ask you. Who do you think you are, a dentist? Don't threaten me like that. You know, Ron, if you don't pay me $300 every 7 months or every, 6 months to get your teeth cleaned, I will kill your family. Don't threaten me like that. I don't like the attitude, man. I don't like it. Stay out of my mouth. Don't go in my mouth. And you think I'm willingly going to make an appointment for you to put your hands in my mouth? That's just sick. That's just sick. You know what? That's just sick.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I'm just sick. I don't like the logos used by dentists either. It's like a gigantic tooth with a smiley face on it. What are you doing? What are you doing? I mean, according to dentists, their logo should be like a giant couple of teeth coming out of gums with blood dripping down off the logo. According to what they tell me. You know, you get old enough, you take your teeth out at night. You do. You don't sleep with your teeth. I don't understand it. I'm so confused. Apparently, the big thing now is you go to a dentist, they look at your teeth, and they try to find something that they can work on to get more money. And my dentist always says, you know, you got an old cavity in there. You got an old filling in a cavity, and that filling's going to have to be replaced. What? Is the filling still there? If it is, shut up. It doesn't bother me. Nothing's happening. Why are you doing things to things that are still there for? What are you talking about? Are you just trying to squeeze money out of me? Is that what you're doing? No, Ron. on. You know, the health of the mouth represents the health of the entire body.
Who taught you that? Who told you that? That's ridiculous.
That's like saying, Ron, you know, the condition of your penis is an indication of the health of your entire body. Ooh, that would be bad news. All right, that's enough. That's enough. The music in the background, by the way, Jason Shaw, composer for the program. Thank you so much, Jason. He does a lot of the incidental music, incidentally. John Shanahan is our opening announcer, comedian, comedy writer. Thank you, John. And Nicole Reed is the British voice that you hear. She books a lot of our national interviews. And then there's me. Happy Monday to you. Happy, happy, happy beginning of the week to you. It's just two more days till hump day, five more days till the weekend, and a certain number of years until you die. So I think we've covered everything here. I think we can all go home now. Oh, no. Did you hear that? Oh, no. Oh, no. I think I'm coming down with it. I don't know what it is, but I'm coming down with it. Yeah, yesterday afternoon, all of a sudden, I started doing a dry cough. I'm doing a dry run to remember how to cough. And then last night when I went to bed, I don't want to get too familiar with your personal, but last night when I went to bed, I felt a little scratchiness in my throat. And I said to myself, I hope this is just allergies. I hope there's a lot of dust in my room and that's the reason for the scratchy throat. Then I woke up this morning, still there, and I started coughing a little bit more. I fear the worst, ladies and gentlemen. I feel like I have to go through this whole thing all over again with the cold thing. Oh, my God, I hate that. Oh, the tissues, the cold medicine, the sneezing. Oh, man, I hate that. Little germs in my body when that happens. It's little germs, and I don't feel that good. The only good thing about getting a cold, and it's the only good thing, is NyQuil. God love those people. I don't know which company makes the NyQuil, but I think it's the Vicks people. You guys know how to make something that's fun. Man, you know, you take a teaspoon of NyQuil before you go to bed, or any time of day, as long as you're not going to drive. That sucker just mellows you out, man. Anxiety? Not on NyQuil. Oh, man. That mellows you out to the point where, you know, like, I could even go to the dentist on NyQuil. Ron, what are you doing here? You don't like to come to the dentistry office. What are you doing here?
Shh, I'm on NyQuil.
Oh. Well, we're going to have to take all your teeth out.
Whatever. Whatever. Just do it.
Wow, NyQuil's amazing. I get a great night's sleep with NyQuil. I sleep for like about 6 days straight. It's fantastic, good stuff. Now they make a thing called ZQuil. Have you heard of that? That's if you don't have a cold, but you still want the same feeling. They have that. Now, the ZQuil isn't as effective as a NyQuil in my professional estimation. And I'm a professional. I do play one on TV. But it's not as effective, but still, it's got the same letters in it, and I think that's fantastic. Thank you very much. Hey, welcome to the program. I'm Ron Van Dam. This is the Ron Van Dam Show. Thank you very much. Thank you for all your cards and letters. Speaking of cards and letters, oh my God, have you heard about this? Oh, listen carefully. You know, I care about you in an odd, strange way. I don't know you, but I care about you. I look at it this way. If something were to happen to you, I'd have one less listener. And that's major. So, actually, you're expendable, but, you know, this sounds better. It sounds like I care about you, and I don't really. I kind of really don't. Any more than you care about me, okay? I think we're even now. Here's the deal. Within a recent amount of history here, not long ago, two major capitals of our states were involved in ransomware. They got like online ransom problems. And this can happen to you. This is my greatest fear, by the way. Well, I have a lot of fears. That's like in the top 100. What happened was these online pirates, basically, is what they are. They hacked into the state of New York's Albany's capital of New York, by the way, in case you didn't know. They got into Albany's online system, the official government thing. They hacked into it, these hackers. They don't know where they're from. And it came up on the screen, you pay us a certain amount of money or you will not be able to access your thing, your computers. As a result, the entire police department was shut down. You see, here's the problem. Oh, and then there's Tallahassee, Florida. Tallahassee, for those of you that may not be familiar, the capital of Florida is Tallahassee. How many of you thought it was Miami? Raise your hand. Yeah, you dumb shit. It's Tallahassee. This is why you go to school. Serves no purpose, actually. It's not like it was intricate that you knew that Tallahassee was the capital of Florida. It wasn't like really important. But it is not. Unless you live in Tallahassee or in Florida, then I guess you should know that. Anyway, they hacked into the Tallahassee seat of government there. And what they did was they redirected $500,000 from state employees' paychecks to themselves. They stole that money online. Can you imagine that? This is what you can get away with by hacking into a system, and it's because we've made ourselves vulnerable. We do everything online. Everything. Our scheduling, our personal information, our money, it's all handled online. And all a hacker has to do, and there's some pretty smart hackers out there, baby, and they don't have to be working for China, North Korea, or Russia. They can be out of a basement, like Trump suggests. And, oh, I said his name. I said his name during the show. Oh, my God. I swore I wasn't going to do it. They have the ability to hack into systems. They can hack into the water system, the electric grid, your bank account. It's phenomenal. We are so vulnerable, it's crazy. We are spending billions of dollars to protect ourselves against something we made up. I've said this on the show before. I used to keep all my records on a sheet of paper in a folder. And unless someone stole that folder or I misplaced it, I was good. Now, everything I have can be stolen. And I'm talking about you, too. We've made ourselves ultra vulnerable. So now we have to be paranoid. Really, what's the answer to all of this? Cyber bullying and cyber piracy? It's paranoia. That's the answer. So here's what the experts are telling us to avoid these horrible hacking problems. They're saying, don't open emails. What? Yeah, don't click on things in emails. Make sure that when you open an email, you know that it's from the person that you know. Hey, let me tell you something. 99% of my emails, I don't know who they're from. And they're saying, don't open them. Just delete them. Don't open them. And if you do open an email and there's simply a link there, don't click on the link. Because that opens up the virus software to get into your computer, and then you are potentially screwed to the wall. Now, I know my listeners are smart enough to know all of this, but I fear for everybody else because we are so social media involved that we don't think twice before we start opening stuff up and looking at stuff. You have to be paranoid. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't this a wonderful time in our lives where to be safe, you have to be paranoid? I remember a time when I was growing up, my parents used to keep the front door of the house open. We had a screen door and then a large front door. That front door was always open. The screen door was closed so that the mosquitoes couldn't come in, but that was about it. Because we didn't fear people walking into our house, it just didn't happen in the neighborhood that we were in. Now, in other neighborhoods, that wasn't the case. My parents used to leave their car in the driveway unlocked. What are you, stupid? No, because in those days, it didn't really matter. Cars were not stolen that much. Now, everywhere we go, we boop, boop, lock that door everywhere. I don't trust the next person. I don't trust anybody. We lock our doors, not just with a lock, but with a deadbolt as well. And we're not opening that door for anybody. If someone knocks at your door and they're a stranger, we don't open that door, man. We don't open that door. We are paranoid. We have helicopter parents, and they're not parents that fly helicopters. It's just the name that we have when they're overprotective of their kids. They don't even let them walk home like 20 feet from the school bus. We have to pick them up because someone could abduct our child. We're paranoid, and society has made us that much more paranoid. Now we have the internet of highways. And we open ourselves up to everybody, to strangers. We have online accounts called Facebook, and total strangers can be our friend, and we give them all the information about what we buy, what we like, how we feel, how we're politically connected, when we were born, when it's our birthday, where we lived before, pictures of ourselves doing things. We have opened ourselves up to everybody, made ourselves vulnerable, and the answer to that is be paranoid. This is weird stuff going on, man. This is weird. Whew. I don't even know where to go with this. It's so bothersome. It's such a smack in the face. It's like someone just walking up to you and smacking you in the face and saying, "Get with it, man. What are you, nuts? You're causing your own damage." Don't open up links in email if you don't know who they are, and even if you do, think like five times first before you do it. Cuz once you open up that link, boom, you're over. You're done. You're done. And people who pay their credit cards online by online having what you think is a secure, direct link to your checking account, man, what are you, nuts? What are you, online on this computer system? You're actually like giving people your checking account routing number? What are you crazy? Oh, Ron, there's plenty of safeguards against that. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. Like what happened in Tallahassee, which was the capital of Florida and still is. What are you, nuts? When you get your credit card bill, that just like automatically comes out of your checking account. Do you even check to see if someone is hacking into your account? Is someone's got your card number and is buying things in stores? Are you checking to see that everything on that credit card charge bill there is stuff that you actually bought, places you've actually been? Is there a charge on your credit card? In Phoenix, Arizona. Well, I was never in Phoenix, Arizona before. Well, if you don't look at your credit card, you're never going to catch that. People are so trusting, and you shouldn't be, man. I'm not ultra paranoid. I'm just saying, all it has to do is happen to you once, and you'll change your tune when it's too late. And you can protect yourself by spending more money with this LifeLock and Lockjaw and all these cybersecurity insurance things, and, you know, cost you more money to do this properly than it does if you didn't have it at all. It's crazy, man. It's crazy, man. I don't know. I don't know. I've pretty much had it with everything there. I've just had it. You know, my job here is pretty much to point out the crazy things in our lifestyles and our ways of life. And then every once in a while, when I do this on a daily basis, I say to myself, my God, things are screwed up. They really are. Do you like my voice, by the way?
Okay, Ron Van Dam may not be the prettiest face in radio.
Hey, wait a minute.
But come on, that voice, am I right? You are listening to Ron Van Dam, the sexiest voice in podcasting, on New England Broadcasting.
Well, that's very nice of you. Thank you. That's very, very nice. I like that. I think you're very nice, too.
Oh!
I know. Yeah. Anyway, when things get a little slow on this program, I know the remedy. I think we all know it. I just hold up a picture of a puppy dog.
Aww.
That's all. I was watching a David Attenborough documentary yesterday on Netflix yesterday evening. It was in the 4K, 4D, 4... I have no idea what all this stuff is, but it was very, very impressive visually. And there was just so many awes in it. I mean, there were little bear cubs in it walking around, bear cubs.
Aww.
Yeah, and flamingos. I learned about how flamingos have flamingo babies.
Aww.
Yeah. And then wildebeest, which are not really pretty animals, but the little baby wildebeest are very, very cute.
Aww.
And I learned about how the polar ice caps are melting and are going to flood all of our shore communities.
Aww.
And that within a certain period of time that the planet will be completely destroyed.
Aww.
Yeah, it was crazy. And also that the incidents of the melting of the polar ice caps excuse me, are actually happening faster within the past 10 years than they ever have before.
Aww.
I know. And that wildlife is being killed off and we're losing species, and without those species we're destroying our ecosystem.
Aww.
And when I say ecosystem, it doesn't mean you stand in a cave and hear your voice coming back at you. It means like everything's going to crap.
Aww.
Yeah, and of course the air that we breathe is slowly being destroyed, and we have a president of the United States who thinks that it's all just a joke.
Aww.
I know. Anyway. There's such a fine line between comedy and real horrible things. So the line is so thin, it's unbelievable. You couldn't draw a thinner line. It's just very scary. Very, very scary. I'm out of breath. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a very short commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to speak to our guest for today, which is always an interesting part of the program. First, do you like squid and octopus? Do you like to eat it?
Hi, this is Bobby Marone, former heavyweight contender. But I hung up my boxing gloves to open the area's new favorite restaurant.
Here we go. It's called...
It's Headshots. Jesus, give me a minute, would you?
Sorry.
Hey, do you love calamari? Then you need to come to Headshots this month for our Carnival of Calamari. That's right, we got tons of great recipes all made with delicious chicken.
Calamari.
Calamari. You gotta try our famous 1-2 punch pasta loaded with shrimp.
Also says calamari.
Calamari. How about a nice beef lo mein piccata?
What the?
And our spicy school bus fried diavolo? Forget about it. You've never had calamari until you've had the Eiffel Tower at Headshots.
I quit.
During our carnival of I could have knocked Joe Frazier on his ass back in the day.
Oh my God.
Come in and ask for me, Bobby Calamari. Bobby Headshots. I'm the guy that owns the place.
Hi, Ron.
How are you today?
Good. Awake.
Oh, great. Dr. Ava Shenben joins us now. And she is a renowned board-certified dermatologist, and she's involved in television consultation, I understand, as well. Is that true?
Yes, we do. We do online video dermatology conferences.
Cool, cool.
Yeah,
very cool stuff.
Yes.
Okay, we're talking about a condition that I can't even pronounce. so that's
hyperhidrosis, excessive sweating.
Ah, yes. Okay. Now, this is a condition that a lot of people haven't heard about, but yet I understand it can be quite prominent in many.
Yes, so people may think that they just have, they're just sweating more than anybody else they've ever met, but in fact, it is a medical condition that can affect even children as young as 9 years old. And so it's called primary hyperhidrosis, and in fact, 15 million Americans suffer from it, and 10 million Americans have hyperhidrosis of their underarms. And so what that means is that they're going to sweat more than anybody they know, no matter what's going on. It's independent of whether it's hot or they're exercising. And it's so troublesome because it can ruin all of their clothes and make people socially uncomfortable.
That's pretty much, I'll tell you a very quick story. A friend of mine, his girlfriend had that condition. I didn't know it was called that. And they broke up because he had sexually not interested because of the ramifications of that from her. And I felt terrible. She was a wonderful girl, but he just couldn't, you know, hook up with her in that sense. And that's devastating.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. So you can see that it can affect every single aspect of a person's life.
Yeah.
You know, that's a terrible personal, you know, personal romantic story.
Yeah.
And it can happen at work, too, where people really become very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But the good news is that there is now from, it's called Qbrexza.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first and only FDA approved. It's just once daily, a topical cloth.
Oh.
With a medication in it. It's approved for people 9 years and older who have this condition called primary axillary hyperhidrosis.
Interesting.
So it's something really wonderful. You may bring it up at first to the pediatrician, but then the child or the adult can go to the dermatologist to get an official diagnosis and have the benefits of this prescription.
When someone has this condition, is it the entire body that undergoes this reaction, or is it just certain parts of the body usually?
Well, to use this cloth, and as I said, it's once daily applied to each underarm, and then you throw away the cloth.
Yeah.
It's just to the underarms.
Okay.
Some people who have hyperhidrosis do perspire in more than just their underarms, but this prescription is just for the underarms.
I see. But that's the that's a prominent area usually where the condition exists, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, if it's axillary.
Right,
I mean,
right,
other people, you can have sweating of the palms and the soles of the feet as well, but this prescription is specifically for those who have the underarm, like that story you told me about your friend's girlfriend.
That's right, I swear it wasn't me. I'm serious.
I swear it wasn't me. Well, that's how you guys always talk.
That's
not true.
That is not true. See, you can't relay your story anymore because everybody is
It's always a friend.
I know.
But there's a wonderful, there's a website, Qbrexza, Qbrexza, Qbrexza.com, where people can find out more information.
Okay.
And one thing I want to bring up, too, is that this is a prescription medication. And so, you know, as with all prescription medications, there are potential side effects, especially if it's not used properly. So after you apply with this cloth under each arm, then you throw the cloth away and wash your hands, because some of the potential side effects are urinary retention, blurred vision, and dried mouth.
Oh.
So
from topical.
Those are,
wow.
Okay. Yeah, it can happen, but, you know, but very uncommon.
Yeah.
Very uncommon.
Okay. I mean, there's to everything that you take internally or externally, there's always, you know, something that you got to put on the bottle. Or whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
I get that. Yeah.
That's exactly right. Yeah. But, you know, most any of these side effects are mild, moderate, and temporary.
Okay.
So.
Wow. Great information, actually. Let me ask you something that's a little bit off subject. How often should people see dermatologists at a certain age? Do you start doing that
Yeah, I mean, ideally, you're going to see a dermatologist like you put in your regular health checks,
yep,
like once a year.
Yep.
If there's a family history of melanoma, you really want to start doing that in your 20s because that, of course, can be devastating.
Wow, that early.
And then people who, if there's a family history of melanoma or anything abnormal-looking moles, and I think that people who've had a lot of sun exposure and blistering sunburns,
yeah,
those people, everybody knows who you are, they need to be checked regularly too.
Yeah.
Because you just, skin cancer is so easily treated if you take care of it early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My dermatologist told me at the age of, well, I was 50 when I went, and she said, and I had something that had to be treated, but it was fine. And she said, that's from you going out in the sun when you were a child, when you were like 10 years old or 5 years old. He said, what? That's the effect from something that long ago, and now it catches up to you. Oh, my God, that's scary.
Yeah, that's right. Well, your skin's your biggest organ, so yeah, we try to take care of it a piece at a time.
All right, so those that have this condition we talked about, it's QBREXZA, which is bare spelling because it doesn't sound like anything that it's pronounced, but that's what it is, QBREXZA. Well, thanks for the information. Would have never known this if I hadn't talked to you.
QBREXZA.com for more information.
Perfect. Doctor, thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure.
Take care. Well, did you have a good time? Did you really? Seriously? I don't believe you. I don't believe you for a minute. But thanks anyway. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. I hope you join me then at any time during the day. And it's the great thing about this stuff. I don't want to bother you. I don't want to bother you. Until then, I wish you peace.